It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I'm going to have to find a good jumping off spot. I'll give you an idea. This is pretty much my Sunday school lesson, but I got to looking at a little pamphlet that was in the front up there called Forbidden Occult Practices. And as I was looking at it, I got to thinking about some of the stuff that Kent and one of his friends was asking me one night about ghosts and about it was a lot of stuff that's in this forbidden cult thing about dead people and zombies, and just they're always interested in that. And as I got to looking at this, I didn't realize how much the United States is living off of this, you know. Looking at all the movies and all the books and all the things that are built on satanic worship. And not only that, is looking at just the dead, the zombies, the vampires, all the movies. I've got a list of them I'll go to in a little bit. But just to give you an idea of where we're going with this, you know, we're looking at soothsayers. We're looking at sorcerers. And then got to looking at throughout the Bible. Well, when Kent was asking me about this, and one of his friends, I didn't have a lot of answers for him. You know, and the Bible says for us to have an answer. You know, so I told him, I said, well, you know, all I could tell him was experience. Things that I had, you know, he's wanting to know about haunted houses and about different things, and if this is real, and if that's fake, and if that's, you know. And I got thinking about it, and I said, well, you know, you just have to look through the Bible and see what the Bible says about it, and if it has examples of it. And you know, I got to looking at, like I said, through this little pamphlet, and I tore it all to pieces just looking at it, you know. But anyway, I'm going to start off, I'm going to read some scripture before I even go to the pamphlet. In Leviticus, let's see, we'll start off with chapter 19 and verse 26. I'm going to read down and then read a little bit of what John MacArthur has to say, and then look at a couple more things. Then we'll get into the pamphlet and start going through it and go off from there. Starting with verse 26, it says, "You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings on your flesh or for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry, and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." See, he tells you, you know, what to turn from and what to turn to. Verse 31 says, "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." I'm going to stop right there and give you a few things about familiar spirits. Just a couple of here we go. In Leviticus 20 and verse 6, it says, "The person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against him, that person, and cut him off from his people." And Leviticus 20 and verse 27 says, "A man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them." I'm going to say there's a couple of things in 1 Samuel 28. Talks about Saul consulting a medium. And that's the story I was going to tell you that is a good example of people say, you know, well, is this real? When people contact the dead and when they do this, is this real? You know, well, here's an example of it in the Bible. And you got to look at these things and know that the spirit world is real, and that's why so many people are curious about it. They seek it. They want to know. And even the Bible tells you, you know, to try the spirits whether they be of God. You know whether it's, you know, and when he says try, he don't mean get involved with it. He means put it through the test. See if it testifies Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But anyway, this was, as I was looking at this, it was giving me answers on some things that some people were asking me. So, you know, that's what got me to looking at this. But anyway, talking about familiar spirits. And if we get the Leviticus 19, John MacArthur says on divination, soothsaying, he says, attempting to tell the future with the help of snakes or clouds was a common ancient way of foretelling good or bad future. These were forbidden forms of witchcraft which involved demonic activities. He said the pagan practices were the most likely associated with Egyptian idolatry and were therefore to be avoided. It's the practice of making deep gashes on the face and arms and legs in times of grief was universal among pagans. It was seen as a mark of respect for the dead, as well as a sort of propitiatory offering to the gods who presided over death. You know, and far as the pagans, they were thinking there was more than one god. There were several gods, and they had gods that provided over death. So that's what they were attributing to. It says the Jews learned this custom in Egypt, and though weaned from it, relapsed into old superstitions. So tattoos also were connected to names of idols and were permanent signs of apostasy. And I got to think about that. You know, a lot of times people, kids, will ask you, well, what's wrong with getting tattoos? You know, that right there said it's a permanent sign of apostasy. You know, so it's, I would rather not be associated with it, you know, if you get to looking at it and thinking about it. And a lot of people, the reason they do things is they don't know. They just don't study and don't find out. And, you know, like I said, until I was reading on this, that was something I couldn't have told you. But now that I've read on it a little bit, now I have some answers. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and get started on the little pamphlet, and then we'll come back to 1 Samuel if we have time. I say I am, if I can find it. I just had it. There it is. All right. Let's see. I think before I get started on this, I'm going to and read in Deuteronomy chapter 18. If you want to turn there, start with verse 9 through 14 and read a little bit else of what John MacArthur has to say here. It says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, and we'll find out that that's a druggist, a sorcerer, and one of the definitions. And we'll get to looking at that. And it makes a lot of sense because they use drugs to give you delusions, to make you, you know, not see things as they are. And that's what sorcerers do. Anyway, it says, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. So we know that we're to separate ourselves from that. We're to avoid those things. In one of the notes, John MacArthur says the abomination of those nations. He said Moses gave a strict injunction not to copy, imitate, or do what the Canaanites did. I'm going to skip some of this. Some of the definitions they give right here, this pamphlet gives a lot deeper definitions in it. So I'm going to move on to the pamphlet here and start reading in here. And we'll kind of look at a few other things. It says, the occult hidden mystic arts holds a peculiar fascination for many people in our nation today. Those who find the mystic arts appealing are lured by the promise that involvement with weird and psychic phenomenons will result in contacting unknown dimensions by the way of psychic vibrations. Such promises have created a growing popularity of acceptance of cult practices by the people of our nation. National magazines report that housewives are holding seances and more young people are experimenting with trips. And when I saw that, experimenting with trips, I thought about LSD and speed and heroin and all the drugs that they get into. You know, they call it tripping, you know. And it anyway, it says they get involved with trips. He said the people of all ages are accepting satanic worship as a way of life. You know, it's become, when you think about all the scary movies and all the vampires and werewolves and demons and devils and just all the different movies about Satan, and it's accepted now. It's just like, well, that's just natural. That's just what people are interested in. You know, it's like there's nothing really wrong with it. But it says, most people say, so what? What's wrong with exploring the unknown? Isn't everybody drawn to the supernatural? It's just a fad. I said, but wait a minute. Do you realize that people who are drawn to occult practices are for the most part seeking proof that that other dimension, the supernatural, really exists? I said, such people often sense a lack of deeper meaning in their own lives in a day-to-day basis, and therefore find the occult arts particularly appealing. Man has always believed that there must be a supernatural power and dimension to life beyond the limitation of his own mind. And that Brother Lamar was talking about a movie called, was it Lucille?
Lucy.
Oh, Lucy. And they said where they was taking a chemical that a pregnant woman's body produces, and that it has something to do with the mind and, you know, the child's mind, and said that they took a lot of it and put it in this woman, and she was to transport it, and it busted, and then she come. They say that you can only use 10% of your mind, you know, most people, and that she was able to use 100%, you know. And then he got to thinking about, I thought of that when I saw this, and he was saying it was terrible that she was like she thought she was God or something, you know. And that's the way the people, they're interested in how the mind works. Even that's interesting to me. You know, scientifically, how much of the brain do we use and how much do we not use and why can't we use, you know, and is there a way to train your mind to use certain parts? You know, it's interesting, you know, even to me. But I'm not going to go into it the way they're talking about, you know. But occult practices, he says, are occult practices the answer? You may reply that man has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that a supernatural force is involved in many of the mystic arts. It is true that many have witnessed great demonstrations of supernatural power as a result of a mind attuned to psychic forces in the region beyond the five senses. I thought about karate experts, kung fu experts, how they'll break the boards and how they'll say, mind over matter. You know, you have to use more of your mind to do something than and positive attitudes and part of, you know, people they think the mind is in control of everything. Well, we know that God is in control of everything. But it is interesting to note that said it is true that you can train certain parts of your mind, like the karate experts do, to break the boards, to concentrate on toughening up that one area and giving. It's more or less technique. It's training yourself technique. You know, they'll say to drive your arm through the board and not just at the board and different things like that. But anyway, that kind of stuff is interesting. It says, futures have been accurately predicted. Those parted by death have communicated with their loved ones. And normal mental powers have become greatly enlarged by various psychic practices. Although these experiences may be valid, have you ever stopped to consider the origin and the source of such manifestations? The Word of God says that thy sorceries were all men deceived. So Revelations 18:23 says, and that there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. Matthew 24:24. You know, and I thought also in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, you know, they said, well, we've done all these wonderful works in your name. And he says, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity, I never knew you. And he said, but they did do all these wonderful works. You know, they've done all these miracles, all these wonderful works. But God didn't know them. All right. So there's proof that even, you know, these that claim to know God and don't can perform miracles. All right. It says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1. And that soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Leviticus 6:20 that we had read earlier. All right. These scriptures indicate that sorcery, and in parentheses has the mixing of drugs. It says, the practice of signs and wonders by false prophets, contact with familiar and seducing spirits, and the practice of doctrine of devils all operate under a guise of mystic arts as channels for the satanic influences and power. It says the Word of God further states that these practices are to be avoided by all those who would worship the true and the living God. It said, did you know that all occult practices are channels of satanic influence and power, and that Satan's sole purpose in seeking to lure people into occult involvement is to gain control of their minds and their bodies, to capitalize on their innate desire for the supernatural in such a way as to ensnare them and destroy their ability to discern God's truth in the future. And you think about that. You know, how the devil will get into somebody's mind and control their mind, then he'll control their body. He'll make them do things that normally they wouldn't do. You know, like the cutting of their flesh and the little rituals for satanic rituals and stuff that they wouldn't do in the right mind. But the devil has influenced them and just has control of their mind. All right, it says, did you know that by choosing to become involved in occult practices, you are actually given Satan permission to control your mind and body by satanic forces, and also legal grounds by which he can maintain a stronger hold on you each time you choose to become involved in any of these mystic arts. So when you're thinking about getting involved with them, you also think about you're giving Satan permission. You know, and think about that. In James, he says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know, there's a lot of combinations there. First, submitting yourself to God and resisting the devil. I can't remember if it was one of Jay's friends or one of Kent's friends. One night said, oh, listen, there was on Netflix, they wanted to, one of them said, oh, let's watch the movie The Devil Within, I think was the name of it. And I said, oh, let's not watch that movie. I said, no, we ain't doing that. So, but anyway, certain things, even the names ought to tell you, don't look at that. Don't watch that. Don't be involved with that. You know, because, you don't know what kind of satanic forces, or what kind of plans the devil has behind it. Because he plants seeds, he comes as a angel of light, and he seeks whom he may devour, and he's always being sneaky and tricky and trying to, make you fall into traps. But we're to keep our eyes open and, think on the things of God. All right, it says, do you know what Satan's ultimate goal is in seeking to appeal to humans through a medium of an occult? It said, it is to ensnare them, to trap, to deceive, to destroy, to cause one to forsake the truths of God for the lies of the devil. The Word of God says in 1 Chronicles 10:13 that Saul died for his transgressions which he committed against the Lord for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. And 1 Chronicles 10:13, and that's somewhere, like I said, we may go back to it and read that story if we have time. But if not, you can go back yourself and look at it. And let me see here. just a second, I had. I thought it was on the back of this one, but it's not. But anyway. You can go back and read that in 1 Chronicles and read the whole story. All right. Anyway, and that was in 1 Chronicles 10:13. It says, God has told us in His Word that we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and that Jesus Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. You know, that it says that's why he was manifested in 1 John 3:8. So Satan has been a liar and a thief from the beginning. He knows that God's word is true, John 17:17, and that it is his ultimate power against him. For God's word says that he shall cut them off in his truth. And that's Psalms 54:5. So we cannot truly serve God if we choose to take part in practices which are rooted in satanic power. So we must decide whether we're going to give alliance to the Lord Jesus Christ by seeking to obey His laws, or whether we are going to give alliance to Satan by compromising with the truth of God. So those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior will have little excuse if they knowingly choose to go against the warnings which are given in God's Word. Those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior must ask themselves whether or not practices which promote spiritual blindness are worth experimenting with. In other words, those that don't even know Christ should think about whether they get involved with satanic worship, you know, if they might ought to check and see if God's for real first. You know, and we're to tell them that. We're to tell them about God because we don't know who the elect are. All right, the only spiritual experience which will produce reality and enlightenment is that of the indwelling Christ within our hearts and lives. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. And John 14:6. said, it is only as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and seek to be instructed by God's Word that we will come to the knowledge of the true and living God and the power which is His alone to save, to keep those who belong to Him. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's John 8:32. So in other words, for us to know the truth, we got to stay in God's Word. We got to seek Him and to keep Satan out, and to know when things, being able to discern when something is something we should look at or something we should reject or avoid. It says, if you've ever been drawn to an occult involvement, please read the following definitions carefully, and this is what I wanted to get to. Each practice listed is a key area of satanic attack through the medium of the occult. All right, first we have witchcraft. It says, the practice of dealing with evil spirits originally synonymous with the practice of any magic, now taken to mean the practice of black magic, which is strongly implied allegiance with Satan. Practice of witchcraft by male is wizardry. So God's Word says in 2 Chronicles 33:6, says, also he observed times and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards, said he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. In Exodus 22:18, it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You know, we've all seen the shows about Salem witches and how they were all killed. And I thought of that when I was reading this about the witches and how the people don't realize that they're still witches. You know, I know I'm not going to say his name, but, you know, we know of people who were been in the mafia and said that they'll consult a witch before they'll go buy drugs, you know, and said if they don't consult the witch, then they would get caught. So we know that they are for real, but we're to avoid them. All right, secondly, it says, magic, charms, and enchantments. It says, an extraordinary power of influence, seemingly from a supernatural source, the use of means such as charms and spells, believed to have a supernatural power over natural forces. Modern forms are love potions, good luck charms, superstitions such as black cats, number 13s, fetishes, omens, rod and pendulums, and etc. And I got to thinking about, you know, some of these good luck, supposedly good luck charms, like the rabbit's foot. Now, how lucky was that for the rabbit? Yeah, let me think about it. And what could that possibly do? You know, how could that, if there was a such thing as luck, how could a foot cut off of a rabbit help you or hurt you? You know, all it done was hurt that rabbit, you know. Anyway, I thought about that, and I thought about some of the charms that they have you put, like carry around in your pocket, and some of the, I was asking some guys at work about Buckeyes, and y'all probably know more about them than I do, but my daddy always carried a Buckeye in his pocket, and then after I got, I thought it was a good luck charm, you know, and then after I got to talking to people, they said that it's a health benefit. It's supposed to help with hemorrhoids and arthritis and all kinds of, it's supposed to be something to help you health-wise. And but I always thought it was supposed to be a good luck charm. Anyway, God's Word says in Deuteronomy 18:10-11, there should not be found among you any that uses divination or observers of times or enchanters or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard, or a necromancer. Acts 19:18-19 says, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious magical arts, brought their books together, and they burned them. And I got thinking about that too. You know, if you've got stuff that you know is satanic, burn it. Don't just throw it away. I was talking to Mama about when I was growing up, we had a Ouija board. And we always thought it was just fun just to put your hands on there and ask it questions and see if it was going to move. And we didn't know whether, is it your nerves moving? Are you moving it? Are you trying? You know, it was just a game to us. We didn't know how serious it was. And then Mama found out that, you know, how evil it was, and we actually burned it. You know, we didn't just throw it away, but we burned it. And, but like I said, when we were young, we didn't know anything about it. All we thought was something fun to play with and just curious about it. But now that we study the Bible and know what God's Word says, we know that it's serious. And, all right, and then the third one is divinations, fortune tellers, soothsaying, prognostication. So the art of mystic insight or fortune telling, any method of obtaining knowledge either of the future or past and contemporary events not available through any natural source. So modern forms are crystal ball gazing, tea leaf reading, palm reading. And how many palm reading places do you see everywhere? And I heard somebody, it's been about 2 or 3 weeks ago at work, was talking about palm reading. And he said, and they all tell me the same thing. They all tell me this line right here means this, and this line right here means that, and this line, you know, they can make up a lot of things. But anyway, he was all into it. He believed all of that. Anyway, it says, palm reading says water witching. Now, I thought water witching was that when you take you cut the forked limb off and you turn your wrist upside down and you walk across the ground and it will pull down to the water. I thought that was water witching. But anyway, cause that does work, because you can find where your water line is by taking just a limber stick that's still got green in it, and you cut it on the forked part about a foot away from the fork, and you can go, you know, a foot or foot and a half on the straight part. Just turn your wrist upside down, put a little pressure on it, and start walking. It'll pull all the way down to the water. Wherever there's, if water, we have water running up under a cement sidewalk. Had a drain, and I was walking down the sidewalk with it, and it pulled down to the sidewalk. And I said, I know this thing don't work. And then I found out the drain runs under it. You know? But that actually works. Anyway, it says Ouija boards, card reading, and soothsaying, prognostication, predicting of future events only. So anyway, using all these things to predict future and predict things instead of going to God and trusting in Him for the future. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. And sufficient is the evil for today, you know. And all the scripture tells us, you know, just to trust God and move on. It says, God's word says in Acts 16:16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. It said, Micah 5:12 says, and I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. All right, divinations through zodiac, divinations by stars, modern forms, horoscopes, signs of the month, etc. I was thinking that there's a comedy show called Waterboy, and his girlfriend was reading something about a horoscope, and it said, you will be faced with a difficult decision today. And she said something that made a whole lot of sense. Aren't we all faced with difficult decisions every day? You know, so that's how some of them horoscopes are, kind of like the fortune cookies and all, you know. But we know that stuff we can just leave alone and just trust in God and His Word. and trust that He says He will be with us and He will lead us and guide us and direct us in all ways of truth. All right, and it says in signs of the month and etc. It says God's word says in Jeremiah 10:2, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." And Isaiah 47:13-14 says, "Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up. Behold, they shall be as stubble, and the fire shall burn them." And I got to thinking about how they're always sending up rockets in the air. And if you'll notice, that's when we start getting the real bad weather. They'll send up a rocket to the moon or to Mars or wherever it's going. And the next day we'll have hurricanes and we'll have all kinds of strange weather coming in. And I wonder if there's not a connection there. So anyway, let's see, I'm old. All right. Divination through necromancy. Divination by means of assumed communication with the dead. It says, they put the word assumed communication with the dead. And I thought about, we have the example in the Bible of it, but more than one actually. But you have those people who fake it. You have them who claim they're talking to the dead and they're just making up stuff, and they'll get information about somebody and about their history and about their family, and they'll use that information to make up stories that somebody's saying, that's trying to act like they're communicating with the dead. So they're saying here the assumed communication with the dead. It says a necromancer may summon spirits and compel them to perform services or give him information. Modern forms is spiritism, spiritualism, and seances. So God's word says in Leviticus 26, we've read before, says, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." In 1 Chronicles 10:13, which we read a while ago about Saul, and that's the story you want to go back and read to get an idea of a real example of someone summoning the dead up and talking to them. Because this is what he does here. He gets a soothsayer to come up and do this. Anyway, we may look at that in just a second. All right. So Saul died for his transgressions with which he committed against the Lord, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. All right. Drugs. The mixing and use of potions or drugs referred to in the Word of God as sorcery. I thought that to be interesting. It said, and when you look up the word, and we'll look at it in just a second, it's described as a pharmacist. And Mama said, "Well, not all pharmacists are sorcerers." And I said, well, I'm just going by what it says here, that the word, I think in the Greek is the definition is a pharmacist. But, we know that all pharmacists are not out to do evil, not out to do bad, but, they are involved with drugs. So I guess, it also calls it a druggist, too. Anyway, it says sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmakia, from which the word pharmacy is derived. It says modern forms LSD, STP, marijuana, heroin, methedrin, speed, it says, etc. We know how many there's so many out there. And what's the one that meth? I said all the drugs are that way, but most of it's the ones that are already illegal anyway. And I had somebody ask me, he said, "Well, if they made marijuana legal, would you use it?" And I said, "Nope." I said, "I don't need it now and I don't want it." You know, why start something you're not doing, you know? And I don't see why you would. It's mind boggling to me that they've made it legal in any state, because it alters your reflexes. It alters your thinking, you know. There was a comedian talking about, said he was going down the road and him and his cousin had been smoking marijuana, and said the policeman pulled him over, and he said, "Well, you know why I pulled you over?" And he said, "Well, I'm sure I was speeding. I had to be doing about 90 miles an hour." And he said, "No, I clocked you at 20 miles an hour." He said, they were so messed up on drugs, they thought they were driving fast, and they were driving real slow. But anyway, it alters your mind. But God's word says in Revelation 18:23, it says, "But for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." It says, "And sorceries and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." All right, Satanism. He says the worship of Satan, whether it be a temporary or a permanent alliance formed from satanic churches. See, God's word says in Ephesians 5:11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." It says 1 Corinthians 10:21, says, "You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils." You know, so he also says in Revelation that you can't be a fence straddler. You know, you're either for him or against him. And it says practice of ESP is, I should have practiced pronouncing this word. extrasensory perception. It says mental powers or telepathy. I'll just call it that. It says efforts to develop skills in the ability to perceive beyond the normal range of the senses, and or efforts to develop skills in the ability to function beyond the normal powers of the mind. Like I said, to me, that's interesting. I like seeing stuff about, you know, what can the mind do that we're not doing? What can, it's just its, not nothing extra, just its capabilities. And why do we not know how to train it and how to, you know, get our mind to do certain things? I have trouble just remembering. So I need to learn some of that. Anyway. Modern forms are hypnosis, yoga, and mind reading. God's word says in Romans 12:16, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not the high things, but condescend to the men of lower esteem. Be not wise in your own deceits." Philippians 2:3-5 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And it says, cults. It says, a system of religious beliefs and rituals which either misuses or does not follow the Word of God as a standard of truth. And we think about that, and there's so many, the so-called churches that are misleading people and not following the Word of God or the Word of truth. That it may not always acknowledge deity of Christ or sovereignty of the Word. It said modern forms or modern theology, Christian Science, Spiritism, and it says etc. So God's Word says in 1 Timothy 4:1-2, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Therefore, it is no great thing if his," and it says Satan in parentheses, ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. You know, and the devil's even called the angel of light. Said, whose end shall be accorded to their works. Said the following, well, I'm not going to read that because it gives you a prayer to pray in case you think you're involved in satanic worship, you know, to ask God to bring you out of it and not to turn to it. But Philippians, I'm going to close with this. When we think about all that we've heard and all that we've read, and there's so many, well, before I go to closing, I said I was going to tell you about all these movies. I just got on Netflix and I'd look up one word. I looked up vampire. And I just pulled out the first seven, and it says some of the names of vampire movies. It says The Vampire Diaries, Vampire Nights, The Vampires, Vampires Out for Blood, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, My Babysitter's a Vampire, The Twilight. I know all the women think that this, well, that's a love story, and that's got cute guys in it and all this stuff, you know, but what's it about? What's behind the scene? What is he actually, you know, when you don't look at the actors and it's all just, that's what a lot of people say, well, they're just acting. It's just a movie. It's not nothing, you know. But we got to think about, you know, what's the meaning behind it. Anyway, and I looked up the word zombies, and each one of these, all I done was pick the first few. There was like pages and pages of movies. So, and what I wanted to point out here is the interest, especially the United States, but all, I'm sure all over the world, people are interested in those things. That gets their interest, and the devil will use that to draw them even further away. Anyway, zombies says, a zombie apocalypse, redemption, zombie nights, world of the dead, the zombie diaries, zombie massacre, zombie hunters, zombie lake, truth behind zombies, the walking dead. Then I looked up voodoo, and it was just a whole bunch of it. Most, they mixed a little bit of everything together on that one. It was ghost stories, the craft, house of good and evil, rituals, skeleton key, devil's knot, escape from a cult. Then I looked up witches. And there was witches of East End, little witches, the Bell Witch Haunting, a war witch, escape to Witch Mountain, the Blair Witch Project, and just went on and on about witches and devils. It had one movie just called Devil. Then they had Devil Seed, Devil Pass, Devil Carnival, Here Comes the Devil, Let the Devil Wear Black, The Devil's Ride, Devil's Prey, The House of the Devil. You know, there's just so many, but people are so interested in that. It's a billion-dollar industry to get people's interest in it, and the devil's just smiling, just looking at, you know, because he's got them going a little bit more and a little bit more. The more they pick up on this, the less they're going to go towards God, the less, you know, and he's just trying to draw their attention. I said, I've got a lot of notes on some things that we could look at, and it's probably going to be our Sunday school lesson for the month. But anyways, it's something I'm learning, and I'm learning some things to look at, some things to be aware of, some things, some answers to give when people ask questions. You know, because people don't even realize how evil it is. They don't even realize they're doing anything wrong. But I said a while ago that I was going to look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And we can stop on this note when we get through. Because instead of dwelling on the devil and the witches and sorcery and familiar spirits and all of these things that, you know, we know the world is interested in, we can look at Philippians 4 and 8 and says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praiseworthy, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And I'm going to end with that, and I appreciate your attention.